Continue where we left off last week, and we read in Colossians 2:8 about philosophy, and the Bible says, "Beware of philosophy, and be not, you know, we're not to give in to the philosophies of man and everything." And I asked this question. I asked y'all to ponder on. I don't know if you did or not, but what do you think? How do you think? What do you think about things? How is it that you think? What do you think about the Word of God? What do you think about God? What do you think about man? What do you think about work? What do you think about any money? What do you think? And how do you think? And because, see, that's what philosophy is. It's how you think. And everybody's got one. They're just like armpits. They stink. They are. I mean, you can't trust what you think. I went up to Brevard yesterday. That place didn't look like nothing like what I remembered it looking like when I, you know, went up there several years ago. It didn't really hadn't changed. You know what was wrong? My thinker. it didn't remember right. And so you can't lean to your own understanding, your own thinking. You can't lean to other people's thinking. You got to have a compass that's going to point the same way all the time.
Amen.
You know? You got to have something that's established, something you can trust in. And this is our moral compass. The Bible one of the best, if you're going to try to get some level, the best level in the world is a water level. Don't know what that is. It's as true as anything you can possibly get. And a plumb bob. Whole lot better than a level. I mean, if you really want to find out something straight, because it always hangs the same way, straight down to the ground. And the Bible said that God has laid righteousness to the plummet. You know who that righteousness is, right? You know who that plumb bob is, don't you? That plumb. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that came down from heaven. And he laid judgment to the line. How you like that, boys? We're the line. You know what I'm saying? He's going to lay judgment to the line. And, you know, you better get, if we're not lined up with that plummet, you know what I'm saying? Square to that plummet, and we're out of line. Judgment is coming. And it's coming. Mark her down. Bible says judgment starts at the house of God. Don't start with this world.
Amen.
Judgment is coming. We need to be prepared for it. And the Bible says judge yourself that you be not judged. Lord, what you do is you examine yourself by what? By what you think? By what your brother does, what they think, by what the preacher has to say, what you going to judge yourself by? Amen. The Word of God.
Amen.
That is our compass. That is our plummet. That is our that's the only thing that can keep us level. Oh, look at this. I don't know who that is. And I'm going to cut them off permanently. Hate to do that, but there you go. Happens to me all the time. Forget to cut it off. Well, I asked you to think about that. And we've been looking at how people change the Word of God. How they exchange and changing God's word, and the first thing we looked at was thought, and that's what we're looking at, this idea of how you think, and I want to go back and look at, like I said, I read last week, we finished up there on this question, what do you think? Now, I want to ask you, think about this. What do you think about truth? What do you think about truth? How do you determine what is true? Now, the world, here's what the world says. The world, man says in today's philosophy, there is no absolute truth. Listen, hear what Jesus says. Take your Bible and turn to the book of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verses 6. And Thomas wanted to know where he was going and how can we know? And what is this way? And Jesus said, I am the way. What's that next phrase?
The truth.
The truth.
And the life.
Hey, there's no truth apart from Jesus Christ. He made all things. He is the truth. And the truth determines what is true. What's true about science? What's true science? You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it off, you know, these science shows that's on, you know, television. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to get it off of that. You know, Cosmo and all this different stuff they got out there. You're not going to get the truth there. You might get some things that are true, but you're not going to get what is true. What is always true. Jesus created the universe. He knows. He's not guessing. These are not theories. These are not evidence based on eyeball and trial and error. He knows. And so if you're going to know what's true having to do with science, or having to know about creation, and you go to court. People get up there and lay their hands on the Bible. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. They you need to throw them in jail right then because they lie. Because they can't remember the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. How many times have witnesses been found in error? I don't think they did it on purpose. I was getting called up to be a witness one time, and they I told them, look, I'm telling you right now, I said, I'm not swearing on that Bible. The Bible says swear not. I'm not going to swear by heaven. I'm going to swear by the Bible. I'm not going to swear on my own head. I said, because all I can do is tell you what I think. This is what I remember. How good a witness I am, I don't know. I know how good a witness Jesus Christ is. He is the true witness. And his witness is true. You say, well, how am I supposed to live if I can't even trust what I think? You better live by this book. You better start up the day with it, and you better end the day with it. You better spend time in prayer and studying the Word of God and let God guide you. The Bible says we have to deal, everything that we have to deal with and to do has to be measured by this book. You find it over in the book of Hebrews with him that we have to do, the Word of God. But man says there isn't no truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. Then look over in the book of 1 John. 1 John 5 Look in 1 John chapter 5. Verses 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. You want to know what's true? You need to look in Jesus Christ. Now, I want you, with that thought in mind, look down here in 2 John. I want to show you some things about truth that we need to apply in our lives, expect and look to and pray about. The elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth. The only way you're going to love the brethren is in the truth. In the truth. Now, we've established what is truth.
Christ.
Jesus Christ. Whom we love. Notice that. In the truth. Are we in Christ? Are we in Christ? Not your head of them. We're in Christ.
Amen.
I want you to understand that we are in Him.
Amen.
Right now. We're saved. We are in Christ, whom we love in the truth. The only way we're able to love one another is through Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, and this is eternal life. He said, the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Do you know Him? And a lot of people in church, they know about Him, but don't know Him. Preacher made reference to that the other night. About knowing Him. I was raised to know about Him. Everybody in here was raised to know about Him from the time you were just little. How many of you saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, when you were just a child? If you did, raise your hand. How many of you laid down at night and said, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord must. How many of you did that when you was growing up? Raise your hand.
Well,
a couple of you did.
I still do.
Yeah. It's all right. That's fine. I know I'm kept. Praise God. But what I'm saying is, we've all been taught about the truth. We knew the Christmas. We've heard the Christmas stories. You know? We've seen the little drummer boy. We've seen all this about how he came, was born, about the wise men, how he lived on this earth, and went about and did miracles and stuff. We knew about it. We know about Him. But that ain't what He said. And all they that have known the truth, and for the truth's sake, which dwelleth, notice this, which dwelleth in us. We're in Him, but He's also in us. He dwells in us, who dwelleth in us, and shall be with us for how long? Woo-hoo! That ought to make a backslid Presbyterian shout over the house. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? Forever. He said, I will dwell in you forever. I'm not going to leave you. You and I have heard people say, yeah, but you can leave Him. I said, you know, it's kind of hard to leave somebody that ain't going to leave you. You know? Anybody ever had an old dog follow you around? You try to run it off, and you just can't run it off. It just keeps coming back. The more you run it off, the more he'll whimper at you, follow around. You seen him like that, haven't you? Well, I tell you what, he ain't whimpering, but he ain't leaving. And I tell you what, it's kind of hard to leave something that you're inside. How you going to leave him? He's in you. Wherever you go, there he is. Amen. He don't make no difference. As soon as you get there, he's there. Amen. The truth is, he's everywhere, so he was there even before you got there. Amen. And forever, I don't know. I like them verses. I'm just stupid enough. I believe what I read in this Bible.
Amen.
People say, I remember a fellow asked me. He said, "You sound like you believe what you said." I said, "Why would I say it if I didn't believe it? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." I believe what this Bible says right here. And we need, the Bible says, to renew our heart and our mind daily through the Word of God. cleanse us. Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. And this is his mind. And we're to fill ourselves up with the Word of God. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God? Fill yourself up with this Bible, because Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. Fill your heart and mind with the Word of God, and you'll be filled with the Spirit of God, because it is the Spirit of God. Notice this. So what do you believe about truth? And look at 3 John. Same thing. I mean, you know, he wants us to recognize the truth. In the book of, I don't know how many times truth is used. I didn't count all of them in 1 John. But here in 2 John, you find verses 1 through 4. And in the third, and there are four times it's mentioned. Verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read them. For the true sake which dwells in us shall be in us forever. Grace with you and mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found that thy children walking in truth. We've received a commandment from the Father. So we're walking in Christ, walking in the truth. And then in the book of 3 John, you find these words even more times. It's written in this little epistle. The elder and to the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even thy soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Then look in verses 8, and he said, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Jesus, we're working with Christ Jesus. We're fellow helpers to the truth. We're helping the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a ministry, a shared ministry, and he needs every part of his body to be involved. I got a toenail bothering me. I've been laying off the trim that thing, and I ain't got a trim. I'm laying in bed, and it hangs up on my sheet. That's part of my body. Might not be much about a toenail, but buddy, if you need to get trimmed up, get trimmed up. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? Truth, and we find here, and in verses 12, he says, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. Pretty good, but you can know that a man, what he says is true. How do you know that? Is it line up with this? And I'm going to tell you something. You can take this and you can twist it. So you better make sure they're rightly dividing it too. Amen. You know what that takes? Study and prayer and study and prayer and study and prayer. Not just study only, but prayer. Asking God to show you. Asking God to open up your heart and mind. Yielding to the Spirit of God. Yielding to Jesus Christ. Letting his mind control us. Then we can walk in truth and know the truth and know when a person's record is true. How many of you have ever heard a preacher? I'm talking about a gospel preacher. I ain't talking about some of these old weirdo things out there. But he just go along and all of a sudden he comes out and starts going off on a tangent on a teaching or something. And there's something inside you just don't feel good about it. You know what I'm talking about? You want to go home and study it out. You know, pray about it. Know that his record is true. You do me a disfavor if you don't study the Word of God and be able to confront me where I might be wrong on something. I'm serious. You do me a disfavor. Well, I need to be corrected from time to time, don't we all?
Amen.
We make mistakes. I've had a few people over the years straighten me out, and I'm glad that they did. That showed one thing. They cared enough about me to tell me that I was wrong. I've had to go to people and tell them I was wrong. I was glad to do it. I was glad to know that I could actually learn that I was wrong about something. I find people all the time that seem like they think they're always right. I don't know how they live with themselves. They're so perfect. Whew. Golly. Next, I want to look at how. What do you think about values? We know that we determine what's true by the Word of God. And I ain't just talking about biblical things either. I'm just talking about what's truth. What's the truth? You know what I mean? That's important in everyday life, that we speak the truth. We don't lie. We don't, you know, hedge around things. We don't add a little to or take a little from, you know. It's the truth, and that's important. And what's truth we're going to have to get from this Bible? It's going to have to help us to walk in truth. And don't sit there and say you don't ever have trouble with it, because we all do. I know what's in man. I've read this Bible. We all got to deal with it. And we all got to let this book deal with us. But what about values? What does this world say is valuable? Does this world think power is valuable? Does this world think that wealth is important? Youth. Looks. One of the biggest industries in this country is beauty. I forget how much money is spent on trying to make yourself look better. You wouldn't believe it. It's billions and billions of dollars. The only industry I know is bigger than that is dogs, pets. World's going to hell, but we got fat dogs and makeup everywhere. On average, it takes a missionary about 5 years to get on the field. Fluffy waddles to the door every day. I'm not advising this, but no, I ain't gonna say it. Runner, I don't think the Bible teaches this. Let me get out of that. But I'm just simply saying, you know, what do we find is valuable? Youth, looks, popularity. Everybody wants to be popular, you know, especially young people. They want to know that they're accepted. That they're popular. They don't have to be super popular. They ain't got to be the most popular, but they like to know that people like to have them around, you know?
Amen.
A little popularity. This world thinks that's important. The world thinks it's important. Your flesh thinks it's that important. The devil wants you to think that's important. I tell you, old Jeremiah, he was so popular, they put him in the stinking dungeon. fed him with moldy bread. Popularity. What does God see that's valuable? Let's turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs does a whole lot about, deals a whole lot with what's valuable. Proverbs chapter 2, I'm going to read in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, lifting up thy voice for understanding, as if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Mm. Hey, man, if I could show you that, buddy, in your backyard, there was a hid pirate treasure. It was worth millions of dollars. Y'all, something most of y'all would go home and rent a backhoe today. I mean, if I had a little map proved it was back there, you would dig and find it. You know what I'm saying? And I can show you right here. It's a treasure. Well, he said, oh, David, what's that worth? Well, let's go on. It says that if you'd seek for her as for silver and search it for her for hid treasure, you'd understand the fear of the Lord. Look in chapter 3. Begin reading in verses 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with thy first fruits of thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loves, he correcteth. He was a father, son whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that get understanding. Listen to this. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things thou canst desire are not to be compared with her. If you were to go home and have your house filled up with gold and silver and precious jewels, it will not compare to what's right here. If you was to win that $1.5 billion lottery that everybody was running out to buy a ticket for, it's nothing compared to what's to be found in this word. You said, David, surely you can't mean that. I mean it absolutely. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You get... Brother, he's made a little bit of money over the years. You've seen it made and you've seen it disappear, haven't you? It comes and it goes. Jesus said, having food and raiment, therewith be content. Contentment with godliness is great gain. Be sure you come into this world with nothing, and you're going to leave out of this world with nothing. So you can spend your time gathering up all the junk in this world if you want to, or you can take and learn to fear the Lord and store up treasures in heaven.
Amen.
That's all dependent on you. It's all dependent on me. What is it that's really important? What is really valuable in life? The Bible said, what would you give in exchange for your soul? The only way you know the value of a soul is because you read it in this book. The only way you know what God has told us about. Look. This entire universe, do you not understand? This entire universe, everything that Jesus Christ has made, is already yours. You are heir and a joint heir with Christ, but the only way you know that is because you read this book. You say, well, I ain't getting and spending it now. Probably a good thing. If that's the way you think, you're too stupid to have it anyway. I'm not trying to be mean, but it's just a fact. It would ruin us. That's the way we feel about it. Very few people are able to handle wealth. Very, very, very few. Wealth usually handles people. But one of these days, when I see Jesus, and I know this because I've read in this book, when I see him, I'm going to see him as he is, but I'm going to be like him.
Amen.
And everything that belongs to him belongs to me, even him.
Amen.
He is mine. Praise God, I'm his.
Praise God.
What does this world say is valuable? What do you say is valuable? How do we live when it comes to what's valuable? That's the real truth. We can say, oh yeah, I know that the life in Christ is the most valuable thing, but how do you live? How do we live? What do we give ourselves to? Do we give ourselves to making money? Listen to a preacher in here today, and he said, you know, he was talking about roots. He said, oh, you know, if a tree ain't got good roots, it ain't going to live through a dry season or anything else. Anything else. He said, and you know, he said, I know you don't have no physical roots. He said, but you put down roots all the time. He said, what is important to you? That's where your roots go. Hey, if money's important to you, you'll put down roots to make money. Popularity is important to you, you'll put down roots in that. Hey, if pleasure, entertainment's as important, you'll send out roots gathering out pleasures and entertainment. And knowing all this, where are our roots? Where are our roots? What are the roots of our heart and mind? Where are they digging down into? You know, are we digging down into this world, trying to get up as much of this world and its wealth and its whatever? Or are we digging into this precious book? We got roots down in this, pulling it up, trying to get so we can give out. Values. What do we find is, how do we find what's valuable? How about time? Time is valuable, precious. We don't know how much God's allotted to us, but every moment is precious. And how do we spend it? We spend it in something. It'll be spent in all kinds of things. It has a lot to do with them roots I was talking about. Your time will be spent on what you plant your roots into, what you value. Do you find your time valuable, or is it just something, you know, well... me and a brother was talking about that. He said, I ain't got no problem with time. I said, boy, I do. He said, he ain't got no problem. I said, I got all kinds of problems with it. I mean, I look at things and I see it needs to be done. I said, how do I get it done? You need the wisdom of God to know how to get it done and how to spend your time. You can't pour it all into one thing. I understand that, especially when you got a family. You got to pour time into your family. You got to pour time in your church family. You got to pour time into making a living. But how much time do we just waste? How much time do we just let run by? I don't know the stats today. Maybe some of y'all do. How much the average American spends in front of a television set. I don't know. I know it's a lot. Or computer. Or whatever. Or hunting, fishing, whatever. You know, pleasures of all different kinds. Whatever it is. I don't know. I don't know what has your time. Me, I got to worry about how I spend my time. I can't worry about how anybody else spends their time. But there's one thing for sure. If I had the entire wealth of this world, Brother Jim, I cannot buy one more moment of time. You know, I'll get me a doctor to keep me living. Doctor can't keep you alive. Well, I do like Walt Disney. I'll get myself
frozen cryogenically, and down the road they'll figure out how to revive me. You're crippled too high for crutches. Ain't gonna need to even talk to you. Let you go.
So, what do we find valuable? How about morals? What do you think about morality? What do we base our right and wrong by? We may say, if not that bad, how does it measure up to the Word of God, the Bible? If we measure ourselves by others, we're not wise, the Bible says. So, what about morality? What do you base your morality in?
This world, you know, it's got a morality. We say, well, it's very immoral. Yeah, to us, to them. They don't see nothing wrong with it.
I tell you what, there's a lot of them that are immoral. They look at us and they see a lot wrong with us. Self-righteous hypocrites, a lot of them would say. Sad part is that sometimes they're right.
We need to be careful. Make sure that, hey, the Bible says, you know, we're not. Hey, it's okay to get rebuked. You know, somebody rebukes me for my faults, then I take it well. That's fine. But if I'm doing right. When people rebuke me, what does the Bible say? We're still supposed to take it all right.
Absolutely.
But the fact of the matter is, the world is looking today at religion and saying, what in the world good does it do? Who does it help? He said, well, it helps me, and that's good. Amen. Is that where it's supposed to stop? Our salvation in Jesus Christ, is it just only matter that it helps me? Are we like Hezekiah? Oh, I'm glad, Lord, it's not going to come in my lifetime. I know the world's going totally away in immorality and turning away from the truth of this Bible and holiness and cleanness. We got to be careful. Because what is it that we base our morality on? I'm afraid oftentimes it's each other. And we might say, well, praise God, I'm not like that. You know, I'm not a drunk. I tell you what, if the worst thing about me was drinking and smoking, I'd take it up this afternoon. If drinking and smoking would be the worst thing I ever did, I'd run by the ABC store and get me a cord and a carton of cigarettes on the way home. Because that ain't the worst thing about me. You know what the worst thing about Dave Leslie is? His indifference.
Amen.
I got to fight that all the time. You know why I say it's indifference? Because I know that if I really care, really, really care, I would guard my testimony more than anything. If I really, really cared about people, Brother Jim, I'd pray earnestly with tears and brokenness. But it's indifference. It's got so many of us. Because we don't think that we can really change nothing anyway. Well, we can. We can seek the one who can.
Well, I tell you, I don't have no problem. I don't have no problem with a guy that smokes and drinks. And I ain't got nothing to judge him for. I got my own self to worry about. Maybe if I can get where Lord of God can use me like I want him to be able to, maybe I can be a help to him. So So we got morality. What do we think? Not only about our morals. What do we think about God? This world says that God is our creation. That we created God. We had to have some answers, so we come up with somebody. We come up with something to worship. Now, the Lord speaks a lot about that, does he not? How mankind, it goes about, and they take and they worship the creature more than the Creator who was blessed forever. And boy, they made him like unto, four-footed beasts and creeping things and man or air, the stars or whatever. And if we're not careful, look, hey, why do you think there are probably 1,000 denominational splits in the church? Why do you think that is? You reckon that's because they're going out to establish God in the image they see him as? What they think that he's like? We believe in, and I believe justly so. I've got plenty of scripture that I'm resting upon that when God saves a person, it's forever. But we got a lot of people out there that don't see God as being that way. That God does save us and he will keep us, but we got to keep ourselves too. In him, we got to keep ourselves in loving him. We got to keep the faith. So they got a little different vision of the way God is. Some people say that in the Christian life, this is what God sees as being the most important thing. And some others say, well, no, this is the most important thing. And before you know it, if you start following after that, and these traditions, you know what I'm saying, that are established in our churches, next thing you know, you run off over here in a ditch. Praying, God gets you out of that ditch, and next thing you fall on something, you roll over into this ditch. So how do you see God? What is God like? Again, the only way we can know is through that relationship. You're not going to get it sitting in a Sunday school class. Unless I can somehow get you to say, hey, I'm going to spend my time with the Lord. If I can provoke you to study the Bible and provoke you to spend time in prayer and spend time walking with him, then you can know what God is like. But you ain't going to get it from me. Or for 3 hours of sermon tonight. You're going to get it from him. Spending time with him in his word. So what do you believe about God? I want to ask you this. This world, you know, has a belief of God, but you know, here's the thing you really got to ask. Would you die on what you believe? Do you want to stand in front of God with what you believe about him and give an account for it? One of these days we'll stand in front of God and give an account to him for what we believe about him and what we've said that he's like. We'll be careful saying what he's like. We better be sure it's what he's like to the best of our ability. And when we don't know, we need to learn to keep our mouth shut. So, what is God like, and then what is man like? The world says that man is not this world's problem. It's poverty, lack of education, lack of self-esteem. But man's problem, according to God and His Word, man's problem is man. The problem with everything that I've mentioned, morality and understanding and knowing God and doing and knowing the truth, the problem is us. We get in the way if we're not careful. Our thinking, our ideas, our devotions, the things that we love, and what we put before God, knowing God. It's man is the problem. And God said, man, you're the problem, but I got an answer. And that answer is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He'll guide you. He'll teach you through the Spirit of God everything you need to know. Walk. Learn to walk with Him. Walk in truth. Walk with the Lord. Walk in love. Now, finally I put down here, whatsoever we add to our list, man has a thought about it. Whatever you can come up with, you know, making money. Gotta make money, don't we? I mean, pretty much what we do. Money's gonna come from somewhere.
Amen.
Man didn't come up with money, God created money. Money's not evil. Man's love for money produces evil. So man's got what they think about money. But what does God teach about money? And I could just go on and on with everything in our life. Relationships, friendships, on and on and on. And we got something we gotta say about it. And guess what? Every time man has an answer for any of these subjects, they're wrong. We'll be wrong. But whatever our thought is about, it'll be wrong. But God knows. He has the answers we need. So I'll just encourage you to nurture your relationship with Him. To walk in Him, to walk in the Word of God, walk in the truth. Let Him guide us in all things. He'll show us what we need to do. That's the only way we'll know. Brother Jim, would you go to the Lord in prayer for us, please?